shift the mindset. Everything you do should be done to enhance your body, enhance your breath, enhance your overall well-being.
When's the last time you actually thought about your life insurance and if it's the right one for you? Hello, world. Uncharted Performance is sponsored by HealthIQ, a life insurance company that helps athletes and coaches like us, CrossFitters, weightlifters, endurance athletes, and strongman competitors, to name a few, get lower rates on their life insurance. They use actual science and data and not the outdated BMI, for example, to secure lower rates on life insurance for us. 56% of HealthIQ customers have saved between 40 to 33% on their life insurance. And who doesn't like a little extra cash and a greater peace of mind? And on top of that, HealthIQ is also the official life insurance partner of USA Weightlifting. Does a typical life insurer consider that you're doing the CrossFit Open, running triathlons, snatching 275 pounds, or just taking the simple steps to get healthier and fitter by the day? Unfortunately, they don't consider the fact that you train and lift weights and you are actually getting healthier and you will live longer. To work with someone that does and to support the show and see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/uncharted or mention the promo code UNCHARTED when you talk to a HealthIQ agent. This episode is brought to you by Azoth 2.0. Before we get to our guest, here's what I'm up to now. I'm currently holding a full-time job, coach close to 10 hours a week, host two podcasts, including Uncharted, run two YouTube channels, run a travel blog, and train. That said, energy and more importantly, focus are at a premium. I can only guess and assume that many of you have as hectic or even busier schedules with work, family, side hustles, side projects, commuting, you name it. All this can lead to adrenal fatigue and result in depression, sleep problems, weight increase, and insulin insensitivity. Not exactly factors associated with productivity and performance. So what do I do? What do we do? In order to attain peak productivity, we need to be in an optimal mood, have ample energy, low levels to zero stress, sharp focus, be more efficient without crashing or tolerance buildup. Recently, I was introduced to Azoth 2.0, and unlike commonly used caffeinated beverages that only address focus or energy, Azoth 2.0 addresses all parts of productivity. So what is Azoth 2.0 exactly? It is the ultimate productivity formula containing patented ingredients to increase energy, focus, motivation, and mood to the next level without crashes, jitters, tolerance buildup, or withdrawals, all the things we want to avoid. What does Azoth 2.0 do exactly? It leads to a reduction in cortisol, increases blood flow and oxygen to the brain, increases energy without jitters, optimizes sense of well-being and mood. If that wasn't enough, the team at Azoth have a fully disclosed label so the consumers can exactly see what is in the product, nor are they supported by any VCs, venture capitalists, or any outside investment. We are beyond excited for this product and the immense success it has had and our collaboration with the Azoth team. If you're interested in trying this incredible product, please use the link in our show notes on our website and use the coupon code UNCHARTED, all caps, for 10% off at seekingazoth.com. All right, fam, Paul Wenzel here, and Uncharted Performance is back with another epic episode. We have been at this now for 85 episodes, including this week's. And speaking of years, it's actually been 2 years this month. We have had an incredible guest every episode sharing their stories of achievement, overcoming many hurdles, challenges, and obstacles along the way. We have discussed drug addiction, sexual abuse, body image issues, PTSD, mental and physical disability, and severe injuries and trauma, to name a few under the guise of strength training and personal development. Our mission from the start was to lend a voice, always has been and will continue to be. For many of our guests, it was the first time they have been on a podcast. For others, they have a great experience and knowledge that we can learn from and apply to conquer our inner demons, master skills required to achieve our goals, and set us on a path to reaching our uncharted, quote-unquote, destination, be it in fitness, entrepreneurship, or any endeavor that we want to pursue. With that has come an incredible response, growth, in our audience and reach. Thank you. And we want to continue that mission with you, with our audience, with our listeners, and our community. If you or someone you know has a story that needs to be heard, shared, and featured on our podcast, we need to know. our audience needs to know. Please write to us at contact@unchartedperformance.com. Those selected for our quote-unquote Uncharted profiles will receive the very special glyph. So please do not hold back. We have an awesome podcast. We have an awesome podcast thanks to you, again, to our community, to our listeners, to our audience. And it can only get better with your help. So again, if you know someone that has an amazing story that you would love for them to be featured and shared with the world, please email us at contact@unchartedperformance.com. This week's guest is Dr. Lindsay Matthews of BirthFit and Deuce Gym. And every coach, CrossFit, strength training, or otherwise, needs to hear this conversation and learn from Lindsay. BirthFit is not CrossFit for pregnant chicks. All right, let's get that out of the way pretty quick. This is a discussion about the motherhood transition for both women and their partners. I was introduced to Lindsay by none other, by an old friend, and his name comes up again, Logan Gilbridge. And I'm glad that I did because this was definitely an eye-opening episode and a great resource for myself as a coach. Her educational resume is extensive. Her mission is to empower and educate women so that they live to their fullest potential. She wants to foster a community of strong women that will live out their dreams in modern society. We cover a number of topics, starting actually with primal movement patterns, human primal movement patterns, and how do they relate to our social development. We then explore the training approach, which is a functional progression during the different phases of motherhood transition, from preconception, during pregnancy, and postpartum, including the importance of embracing load, planes of motion, and energy systems, the value of mindset, and how to view obstacles in a different manner with, and how BirthFit is providing the proper support and coaching for a grossly underserved population for both women and their partners experiencing the motherhood transition. Enjoy the episode, guys. As always, please leave a rate and review if you had a good time, and talk to you guys soon. Take care. Lindsay, welcome to Uncharted Performance. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I actually just finished dinner, so I'm feeling much better.
Nice.
Yeah, it is a little late.
What time zone are you in?
We're in Cleveland, so Eastern.
Eastern, time. Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. Got off of work a little early, got a quick dinner, and about to record an awesome podcast.
Great.
So I'm fueled and ready to go. Thank you for taking the time. You are Logan Gilbridge's fiance.
Yes.
He is a past guest. Very, very awesome conversation, and we'll link that up in the show notes. But like we like to do with guests that are related or know of friendship relationships with previous guests, we like to get some dirt.
Yeah.
Without further ado, something that we might not know about Logan, or he might not have been so inclined to share with us, even if we would have asked.
Oh, man. I don't know. What do you want to know? Like funny stuff or?
Yeah.
Bad habits or
actually no, yeah, like a bad habit, yeah, that's actually a good one.
He's pretty intentional with I guess everything he does, but mm-hmm. I would say I've been trying to eliminate phones from the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
For quite some time, and he's definitely one that has his phone by his nightstand, and I even bought us these old fashioned clocks that like ring instead, like for the alarm. Mm-hmm. But he's just, they're ungodly. They are a little really obnoxious, but we could probably work together and figure out a way to get the phones out of the bedroom.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. That's, I had difficulty myself, for a while, but
you did it right.
Yeah. With I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for my wife. So let's just say I had a little bit of help.
Yeah.
So
I'm like going at it every angle. So we'll see if I can do it.
just hide it as best you can. Yeah. Yes, yeah. So thank you for sharing that. Hopefully he hears this. and maybe this might be the catalyst. You never know.
Yeah, for sure.
Thousands of people listening and finding out that Logan sleeps with his phone.
Yeah. And I think at one time he used it like to, you know, there's like those apps that tell you if you're in deep REM sleep or whatever. But I think that's just a way to get addicted to the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like those apps.
No, yeah, there's actually a good book by I guess related to the topic, but not what we're going to talk about. But by Brian McKenzie and Andy Yalpin.
Oh yeah, I have that book. The
Unplugged.
Unplugged. Yes.
Yeah. So. Yes. If he needs a little bit more help, and if he hasn't read it, that's probably.
I should just put it in front of his area of the bed.
Exactly.
So there's some dirty laundry on him.
All right, perfect. So we got two good guests with along with Kara Miller. So awesome. I am also, again, totally unrelated, so I apologize to you and the audience. It might lead into it. We'll see how you answer the question. But I've been a follower of Par Athlete for some time. I'm a big fan of their information, their blogs. Obviously, yeah. John, Tex, and Luke put out really good, high quality content, and they're fun just to follow.
Yeah, they're good guys.
But you recently spoke at their Power Athlete Symposium, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay. So what I would like to know is, what was the speech about? Because there was a lot of buzz on social media.
Yeah.
Especially for those guys.
Yeah. I will actually say they're doing a really fabulous job of bringing all the material together. Mm-hmm. So like they recorded my talk. They recorded everybody's talk that's there. And I think they're going to release it to the public for like something like $30.
Okay.
Or $35 or somewhere around there. And then you can like watch all the talks, which is pretty rad. I just don't know when they're going to do that. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks, because they sent me an email about it. So hopefully I was allowed to say that. But so the talk I gave on at Power Athlete was about the way we develop our movement patterns as humans.
Okay.
And why this is so important, I guess, is because it parallels, like as we develop physically, it parallels like how we develop socially, cognitively, and neurologically. And so that, I mean, in a nutshell, that's what the talk was on. And, you know, I get up there and people are like, what is this lady going to talk about with birth fit? Like 90% of the audience is dudes. Yeah. And if you think about it, like most of them are there because they're coaches and or they want to get better at movement. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really important to know where like movement patterns come from and where compensation patterns come from. So I break it down and I show like milestones, and milestones meaning like positions and patterns that we hit or go through. And for instance, like happy baby, like we hear this term and we know what it is because of yoga, but really like that happy baby position comes from a baby being able to start that initiation of stabilizing in the sagittal plane by using their diaphragm and pelvic floor and intra-abdominal pressure and creating that dynamic stable core, like for the first time, which is pretty rad. Mm-hmm. And so then you evolve and you are able to like move your limbs on each side. Then you're able to roll over by like stabilizing on the same side. So it's pretty fascinating. Once you roll over, you're probably able to establish some sort of tripod position, or all four tabletop position. Spend some time there, then you go into a squat or a bear, and squat takes you up to standing, or you can go into like a tripod position and grab onto the couch, which we see kiddos do, and they're like scooting along the couch or the coffee table or whatever. If you think about it, like that's really important because the kiddo has 3 points of contact, like their feet on the ground, mm-hmm. and they're able to touch something. So no matter where we're at in our, or no matter where like a human is born in this world, they're going to pass through those movement milestones in a sequential order, or ideally in a sequential order. You know, it's not so important to us that a kid is walking by 12 months, but more important is the order at which they achieve those movement milestones and motor patterns is a bit more important. So that's what I talked about and why it's so important.
No, and actually, I'm glad I asked that question because you kind of brought it up yourself. If you're in a room full of, you know, coaches that are 90% male, and obviously there's a misconception among the audience and probably mine as well, or ours as well. I'm sorry that if we put up the if we put up the cover photo and, you know, there's Lindsay from BirthFit, it might turn a lot of people off, and I think they'll be it'll be unfortunate if they choose not to listen to it, because I think there's a lot more to you and your background that allows you to be successful with BirthFit, and not even that, but as a coach. And it's funny that you brought up the happy baby, because I think I remember Luke and Tex and the other guys on the podcast mentioned that quite often in their podcast, and how they've utilized successfully, I think in pre-warm up protocols too. I might jump around a little bit. So I apologize.
Yeah, go for it.
With BirthFit, is it only during pregnancy, or is it all? Do you work with the parents?
Everybody.
So
we focus on what we call the motherhood transition.
Okay.
And the motherhood transition may equate to the infants or the baby. It may equate to their critical period in their life, or their primal period.
Got it.
As researchers have like labeled this period of a human's life. And basically this is the time in our lives as humans in which we have the most like exponential growth, most neuroplasticity windows, and like things have an effect basically on us, like 1,000 times what they would, you know, now that I'm grown. It's just a big window of opportunity, as I like to say. So researchers will call it the primal period or the critical period. We call it the motherhood transition because this is what we are focusing on through the women that we work with, the women and their families.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so you could start preconception. You could start during your pregnancy working with us, or you could start in the immediate postpartum, which for us, we consider the immediate postpartum the whole first year of pregnancy or postpartum. Sorry. Thinking about, okay, it's not just 6 weeks or 3 months postpartum. Like, let's give ourselves space for a whole year to heal.
Got it. So, yeah. We're going to hold that thought for maybe like 15, 20 minutes and we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Because I actually want to find out how you ended up at Deuce.
Well, Logan.
So were you guys together before or?
We were.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So Logan met me back when I was working for this sports rehab company, and mm-hmm. I would travel around the world working on movies and actors that would do stunts in movies. And He was an intern at CrossFit Los Angeles. I don't know if he shared that with you.
He did.
But he was there for like a hot second right after playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from the moment I met him, he knew he was going to own his own strength and conditioning school.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started this outside on the Bluffs, which is called, like, you can still look up the Instagram profile. It's FFOTB, and it stood for Functional Fitness on the Bluffs. So him and a guy named Danny Leslie and myself, that's where kind of everything started, was on the Bluffs. They would do classes during the week, and eventually I had my women's only class on mm-hmm. Saturday mornings on the Bluffs, which was, yeah, a lot of fun. We totally outgrew that and had to find a space, and the space ended up being Deuce, where we're at today.
Got it. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
So how do you go from Deuce and being a coach of Deuce to developing this idea for this, what seems to be taking the kind of world by storm?
I hope it is.
Concept of birth fit.
It mainly started like it was, it's a beautiful just mesh of everything, all the hats and roles that I've had in mm-hmm. my life so far. I moved out to California to go to chiropractic school, and I got my doctorate in chiropractic. So I became really well versed, and I would say I'm still learning because you never stop, but mm-hmm. I became really experienced in the recovery department of taking care of athletes or people that demand a lot of their body. So recovery, prehab, rehab, and just working kind of at, you know, a high level of like stress too, in that sense, like, okay, there's a lot riding on this person's performance. They're going to jump out of the tallest building in Dubai, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you better know what you're doing going into it and getting out of it. So that was there. In my spare time, I just became really engrossed, I guess you could say, in women's health. And this started as I was working out more and more with Logan. Like, he definitely introduced me to proper strength and conditioning. Like, I came from a cheerleading, tumbling, soccer playing background.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that in me, but, you know, I didn't have, I had no experience really lifting weights, you know, because all you do in soccer is run and tackle people. And cheerleading, all I did was like gymnastics, flip-flops, stuff like that. Logan introduced me to that. And, you know, that's pretty powerful. And my studies in, I guess, the rehab world were DNS, dynamic neuromuscular stabilization, where that comes in. Those are like the developmental kinesiology, the milestones that humans hit. But then us as humans, we are weight bearing, load bearing. Like, we're the only mammals that are upright. So
mm-hmm.
we have to embrace load. And so strength training naturally made sense to me. Even, you know, in healing an injury or, you know, relating it to pregnancy, the moms that I began to strength train, they just had way less aches and pains associated with their musculoskeletal system. And then you can start to look up the very little research there is on that. And, you know, it says the same thing. So, you know, we just went a lot by experience and feel. And for the women that I started working with and then Emily started working with, like, they just felt really freaking good. And you can't deny that, you know? It started with my, like, BirthFit started based on some experiences I had with certain clients and them wanting to be in the most optimal version shape of themselves, either to conceive or to give birth. And, you know, that made sense to me. So I just started playing around with definitions and looking stuff up and then taking trainings. And I realized, you know, I want this woman as much as she does to be birth fit. And for us, that the definition meant, you know, capable of birth, or, you know, ready to take on the unknown of birth. And that's literally the definition of birth fit. And, you know, we don't know how long birth is going to be. We don't know what position the mom may deliver in. We don't know any of those, but we can train the three energy systems. We can train in all planes of motion. We can train our mindset. So there's a lot kind of that goes into it. And, you know, when me and some of the early adopters started tapping into this, we were like, this is good stuff. Like, this is, and then they went and had babies and everything was awesome. Yeah, like the women that have embraced all four of our pillars, fitness, nutrition, chiropractic, and mindset, mm-hmm. they go into their motherhood transition with a different set of eyes, with a different lens, and they view, you know, whatever obstacle it is, whether it's trying to conceive, birth, or, you know, maybe it's a birth injury or postpartum depression, or some, like, something will come up along the way, but they view this obstacle in a different manner. And then they view, once they get on the other side of that, like, oh, that was a learning experience. What an opportunity. You know, even if it wasn't their ideal plan A, maybe it was plan C, they're like grateful of the experience, you know, really happy with the choices they made, and they felt like an active player in that motherhood transition.
Okay, so I'm gonna try to unravel this as yeah. best I can. From what I've heard.
Yeah, sorry, I go off on tangents.
No, not at all. It's actually beautiful. And what I've seen, the event of giving birth is obviously not easy, not an easy thing to do, and it's like the biggest understatement of my life.
yeah.
So all you know, all the women in the audience would probably hate me right now, but you mentioned something interesting. Actually, I want to start with, and it's the whole idea of mindset, and which might lead to one misconception that I would actually like to maybe debunk later on. Is this whole thing about training when you become pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of obviously haters and a lot of trolls when. There's obviously some social media videos about women that, you know, are very active while pregnant. But from your clients and the athletes and that you've dealt with, that from a mindset perspective first, what's their biggest obstacle in terms of pursuing, I guess, fitness and strength training during the pregnancy?
Yeah, I think the biggest obstacle is really that the lack of I want to say coaches, leaders that actually know what they're talking about in as far as training.
No, that's a good point.
Prenatal and postpartum. And it's not like there's great coaches out there, and there's great coaches out there that say, oh, I've trained a number of pregnant women. I know what I'm doing, you know, but that's not like, do you really, like, just because you've trained 8 pregnant women doesn't mean, like, you know, the guidelines of how to train, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, there's nothing out there like that. I've looked into a number of prenatal training programs, postpartum training programs. And for me, I wanted to look for something that supported natural human movement. And when I eventually came across DNS, which comes from the Prague School of Rehab, and some great researchers, their philosophy behind breath and core and basically healing diastasis rectus abdominis and just how the human body moves, it makes complete sense. And you know, there was not or still is not a program in the United States besides ours that looks at the core as this whole system. Like, some will try to break it down and isolate muscles to heal things on the postpartum side or to do things in the prenatal side. But there, you got to look at the body as a whole, because that's how we move. Mm-hmm. So I think that the lack of proper support is definitely a hurdle, but you can get through that, because BirthFit now has 93 regional directors across the United States and probably, I think, 70 something BirthFit coaches. So our goal, like, in that's on that side of the business, is to have people that are accessible. Like, okay, you need somebody, you need a coach, there, go look on the referral network on birthfit.com. So that's one way we're trying to help that. But also, like, there's 1,001 misconceptions out there, and everybody has an opinion as what to do, what not to do, what green juice to take, what supplements to take during pregnancy. And it's like, but everything is so, so unique and individual. And, you know, part of the thing is, like, let's give the power back to the woman, give the power back to the mom, and teach her how to embody her body, like, get to know herself and start to make intuitively guided choices. And I think that's where our society has failed as a whole, is taking the power away from the woman when we need to be giving it back to her.
Got it. You bring up, you bring up a good point, and I actually never thought of this, because I'd never had the opportunity to coach a woman that is pregnant. So as a coach myself, is can I go to BirthFit as a resource to? Okay.
Heck yeah. We've had a number of guys come to our BirthFit coach seminar and the professional seminar. And, you know, they go back and take what they learn and implement it in their gym as a whole, which is, you know, a lot more rad than we even thought about in the first place, you know. But yeah, if we have guy chiros, guy PTs that all are involved in the referral network, either as a professional or they just say, hey, go check out BirthFit, you know.
No, because going back to how we started the conversation, and, you know, about just movement patterns and primal movement, it doesn't apply just to women who, you know, are about having a child or had a child, right? It's just, so, again, kind of more and more of a universal approach there, if you're a coach or an athlete. No, it's awesome. Do you like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver? Well, guess what? Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a healthy, conscious lifestyle. People who train, work out, and eat healthy shouldn't have to pay as much for life insurance. It's that simple. The training we already do can save us 25% on our life insurance. That's because people like us who exercise have 56% lower risk of heart disease, 34% lower risk of all-cause mortality, and 22% lower risk of cancer. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ, and to learn more and get a free quote, head over to healthiq.com/uncharted. So, I am thinking about having a child, or I am having a child, and I reach out to you for guidance on training. How do we approach it in terms of the physical, and we can maybe break it down in terms of the duration of pregnancy, you know, prenatal to first trimester to, you know, actual birth and thereafter.
So I'll kind of give you some summaries, because if I gave you everything, we would be here for 2 days.
Thank you.
So preconception. I will start and say that we have an awesome Before the Bump program that you can do online. And it's like 6 weeks long, has one lesson a week. And it was written by myself and are Birth at Nashville, who's a women's health nurse practitioner. And it's basically how to get your body ready, your head ready for conception or taking on a pregnancy. Like, it's really good to do once you find out you're pregnant, or if you're going through IVF or having trouble conceiving or want to go into it with, you know, conscious conception awareness, that sort of thing. So we talk about things like getting rid of toxins in your life, like where they could creep in. Maybe it's in some of your like personal beauty products, for mom or dad, like whoever. We talk about getting a baseline of blood work and hormone panels. This is kind of like a new idea for Western docs. Like, if you go in and say, "Hey, I want a baseline of blood work," they're like, "Why? You feel good." It's like, well, yes, yeah, I want totally, to see where I'm at when I'm good. It's a great place to start, blood work, hormone panel. Start looking at not only the toxins or the products that you put on your body, but food sources. Like, see if there's any way you can improve the quality of food you eat and or the quality of water you drink. Water is actually a big one. And, you know, Brittany goes through all of that in the Before the Bump program. And then we have 3 days of strength and conditioning training that goes along with this, mm-hmm. that anybody could do, you know, at a home gym, you know, with a set of dumbbells or a barbell if they have one. But the idea here is to show them that, like, exercise, fitness does not prevent you from conceiving. So there's probably an old wives' tale out there along the lines of, too much exercise can make you infertile, or you won't get pregnant, or something like that. Now, let's take a step back and look at that as a whole. Infertility or problems conceiving have been related to low body fat percentage, which is oftentimes seen in endurance athletes. Like, that's just an association. That's mm-hmm. not, that's the only thing that was there.
Not causation.
So if you have an athlete that's doing high intensity interval training 6 or 7 days a week and they want to start a family, then let's take it down to maybe 3 or 4 days a week and do something that's going to downregulate their system as a whole, meaning like chill out mode those other 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to kind of look at it. And, you know, oftentimes we get that question. If you're the coach of a gym and a woman comes in and she's like, we've been trying to conceive. The doctor said, let's not exercise because, you know, it didn't happen the first time.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, okay, that's one cycle. But second of all, like, let's look at other areas of our life. Like, maybe the exercise is actually the stress relief for this woman. And maybe she's only doing it like 3 times a week, 4 times a week, where maybe she's sleeping 5 hours a night and trying to bust her ass in the career world. So that might be, sleep might be the issue. But yeah, I would encourage you to look at it as a whole. If somebody comes in with a doc that says that, encourage them to go for another consult with somebody, especially before spending big money on IVF. Get a few consults because you are the consumer. Like, you are purchasing their services, whatever they offer, you know? Mm-hmm. So being comfortable with the doc, whoever you're putting on your healthcare, your birth team, that's really important. And, you know, that can start as far back as preconception. That would be before pregnancy. If mom's getting blood work, get dad to get blood work and hormone work done too. Like, that only makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if no, because a lot of times people just think it's just, you know, the woman that's doing it. But it's, you know, it's usually partners, right?
And yeah.
So if you can include, as we go through this, you know, include, you know, be it a woman or a man, you know, what they need to be also doing to support and, you know, obviously help someone, guide them through the process, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really, I think, if you come at it from like a masculine and feminine energy things, like we all have masculine energy and feminine energy. Like when these guys get their blood work back and see the numbers, like they're really kind of pumped about some of the stuff. Like, oh, I am doing really good, or, you know, I am so healthy here, or whatever. You know, my omega levels are super high. So it's a great window into what's going on in your current health status. But that's preconception. Pregnancy, that once you conceive, you're fully pregnant. So we like to remind people of that. And you know, automatically when hormones start changing and physiological adaptations start happening, then like things are changing in the body, and mom usually feels an all kinds of emotions and an array of things during that first trimester. Relaxin is going to be at a surge, so that means like some soft, like ligamentous soft tissue structures, they may be a little more lax. Like movable, lax is a fancy word for like loose, but they may be a little more lax than what she was used to like 3 months ago. Relaxin kind of peaks and then it levels off, and then towards the end of pregnancy, it starts to peak again to get ready for birth and to help spread and relax the pelvis, which, you know, is genius of our body. But you know, that's just one little thing to be aware of. Relaxin doesn't predispose you to injury, but maybe your shitty movement pattern does, you know. So something to think about. And you know, when a woman comes in and tells us she's pregnant, then from that moment on, we are training for birth. We're not modifying our powerlifting training schedule or our 800 meter running training schedule or our CrossFit training schedule or whatever. We're training for birth. That's what we do now. And you know, it's 40 weeks. It's you know, intentional in every training session. And if you want to relate it to, let's say, an Olympian like Lindsey Vonn, somebody that's Shaun White, they've been training 4 years for their moment at the Winter Olympics that are coming up, you know? So I think it's going to require a lot of discipline. It's going to require a lot of practice, but shift the mindset. Everything you do should be done to enhance your body, enhance your breath, enhance your overall well-being. And, you know, that's how we train throughout pregnancy. And we look at all planes of motion. We look at eccentric, concentric, isometric muscle contraction stuff. We look at upper body versus lower body. And we vary it up because we don't know if birth's going to be 3 days or 3 hours. And, you know, we want to be able to move and have oxygen and have energy stores and, you know, have all of these tools available to us that will only be available to us, you know, if we've put in the practice prior, you know.
Got
And I
it.
mean, that's true of even just breath work. You know, if you're not comfortable with breathing, then why would that be comfortable come Labor Day or birthday, you know? So just being present with yourself is huge.
Yeah, and I think as soon as you said 40 weeks, I'm thinking like sorry, or you know, American Open type of thing, right? Or it's that it's game day essentially, you know, to
Yeah,
very
totally.
very poor pun or metaphor, but
No, metaphors are good. They're relatable.
but essentially you're programming out for those 40 weeks, you know, give or take maybe a few days or weeks,
Weeks, yeah.
depending
And you're
on.
gonna deload before that performance, right?
Yeah,
Like,
and
if you
exactly.
have an idea, start to taper off. There's no nobody wins when you go into labor sore from doing 1,000 lunges, you know? Like, taper off, move to open your hips and practice breathing, and then rehab on the other side of things. Yeah, and so that, I guess that would bring us to postpartum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would strongly encourage everybody to support women in the quest to lie in, meaning to chill out and do nothing for as long as they want to in that postpartum side of things. And that's not like 10 years lie in. That's like 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 40 days, 3 months. Like, different cultures around the world will have a lie in period that lasts 3 months or 40 days. And people in the community or in the immediate family, they help out, they help with chores, they help with food. And I think we have such an opportunity to do this when we utilize some of our gyms and the communities that we each have access to. So, like, that would be the first place I would start postpartum-wise, would be just to, like, slow down, tell mom, hey, it's okay, you don't have to come to the gym, we'll come to you, we'll bring you food. And then when she does feel like training again, that, you know, maybe you take a BirthFit breath and flow class, maybe you take a BirthFit postpartum series, and then you slowly integrate with your breath, with movement patterns, and then start to add load and volume, you know, later on down the road. But we start super simple. We start with breath, and we start with something called the functional progression, which is based on these human movement milestones. And then we evolve from there into more of, let's say, powerlifting movements like squatting and pressing and benching and deadlifting. And then we start to add load and volume, but only if, you know, we're symptom free, mom's feeling good, and things have progressed along the way. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I'm sorry. Sometimes I stop because I'm always taking notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How soon can we give the baby a barbell?
Well, what I would do is wait till after their movement milestones have been established.
Okay.
They're going to be familiar with barbells and plates and things like that, especially if mom's worked out during her pregnancy. Like, those noises will be familiar.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. So if mom comes in, you know, 6 months and she postpartum and she's starting to train again, 3 months or whatever, we'd encourage, like, okay, put baby on the ground with like a blanket or something, because they're not moving all over yet, but they can hear the barbells. They can hear, like, they get a sense of the energy that's going on. And ideally, they, by 2 years, I would say they've probably mastered some developmental milestones. So then, barbell. No. then you can start to play with some of the movements. But yeah, I think movements, maybe not load, is key at that point.
Got it.
But definitely getting through the first 2 years would be huge.
And kind of bring it all the way back for a second to that talk you did for Power Athlete. You mentioned the movement milestones being paralleling our social development. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So if you think about it, basically when a baby is born, and this is a lot why women wear their babies or why dads wear their babies as mm-hmm. well. So that they can keep them close enough to kiss. And now that baby is sensing your breathing patterns, your heart rate variability, seeing how your facial expression reacts to certain things in the environment. And they're taking that all in. There's something called the polyvagal theory. And this is where science meets hippie for us in BirthFit. And a guy by the name of Stephen Porges is the man behind this polyvagal theory. And, you know, it's only been around maybe, I don't know, 50 years, 60 years at the most, maybe less. But it talks about our autonomic nervous system developing into this hierarchy. And as humans, we start with this more reptilian brain, which is the like parasympathetic, equates to that a bit. And that means like we're going to grow, we're going to reproduce when we feel safe, when we feel relaxed. Like if you think about that, like that's when things like orgasms happen. That's when birth happens. That's when love happens. Like that expansion, like when the heart is open. But then we evolved even more as humans to get this sympathetic, this next branch going on. And this is, you know, so we could run if we're in danger or protect ourselves in a more evolved way rather than just shut down, which is like parasympathetic shock. So we can actually do something instead of just shut down. And then we evolve into this socialized branch. And basically, I think if you were looking at the brain and these neural connections, like these are like the myelinated parts or the extra coding within the neural connections of the brain. And this can start as early as the third trimester, but you know, that it definitely happens within the human's first year of life. And if you see the baby on the ground, like they're laying there, they're starting to move their arms and legs. They're starting to move their thumb from the, like this happens even before their arms and legs, their thumb from the inside of a fist to the outside. Like that's the closest thing they can see is their thumb moving from inside their fist to outside. So once they see that, they can, their gaze even, like they can look past certain things or they can focus on different things. Like they're learning to integrate their eyesight, their sound, touch, stabilizing their hand on the ground. Like all of that has to happen within the first year of life. So think about what a baby would be stimulated to move by and, or, you know, just stay curious about. And at the beginning, babies are like driven by hunger, right? So that's where the breast crawl comes into play, or that's where like them crying for mom. Like that's how that they communicate because they're hungry or, you know, they need a diaper change. Like it's pretty like, once you'll hear moms, like once they figure out the baby's cries, they know exactly what baby needs. But all of that happens within the first year. So once the motivation stimulus evolves, let's say it goes from a baby toy into a book, like the learning's just compounded on top of each other. And then the baby's eyesight's even changing from one level to the other. And they're able to look past certain distances or focus on different things. So this is one reason why we say something like, don't sit a baby up until they can sit up on their own, right? So if you put a baby in one of those plastic bumbo seats, that's mainly probably due to convenience and maybe you're cooking dinner or something. Like, I don't know why, like Dr. Muma gave a great podcast on BirthFit podcast talking about these things. But if something's made for your convenience as a parent, it might not be so great for the child's development. Okay. And this is one of those things because it sits the baby up before baby can actually sit up on their own or have the core stability to sit up on their own. And so that means like their eyesight wasn't ready. They didn't find that rolling pattern yet. Or maybe they didn't hit the prone positions or baby cobra first, you know, any a number of those things they could be missing out on. So yeah, it's basically climbing a staircase. Like that's the way I look at the development. And you know, if one's lacking, maybe, you know, you'll, if the physicality or the movement pattern of, a kiddo is a little bit behind, mm-hmm. You can see strides in everything else in life once that improves. And it's, you know, if you work with kiddos that have cerebral palsy or somewhere on the autism spectrum disorder, like movement is huge. And it's pretty awesome to see these kiddos begin to integrate within their bodies again.
This is, my mind is blown right now. No, because again, I'm trying to just draw parallels and an application within the gym.
Yeah.
From, you know, what we can, I'm sorry, I'm not sure if teach is the right word, you know,
yeah, to infants,
but just let them explore for themselves.
Yeah.
The same thing to athletes as a coach. And if you're not where you want to be, developmentally as a coach, I mean, as an athlete right now, just blame your parents.
That's what I did when I first started on this research path. I was like, oh my God, my parents messed me up. They put me in one of those Johnny door jumpers. God.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not a pro athlete or a CrossFit game champ, that's what happened.
That's where it came from.
What do you get out of BirthFit?
Oh man. It's way more fulfilling than I ever thought it was going to mm-hmm. be. It's funny. We had a regional director weekly check-in today.
Okay.
And basically that means like a video chat, but with all 100 of us. And we went through our BirthFit handbook because it's the beginning of the year and we have new regional directors. And, you know, we hold ourselves to certain principles. And one of them is to create meaningful relationships. And, you know, I haven't met, this is crazy to say, but I haven't met everybody in the BirthFit tribe in person. But those that I have met, which is probably, I would say, close to 70 of the 93 regional directors, the rest of our teams met everybody else. But, out of the 70 or so I've met, you know, the relationship that I have with each of them is unique and it's respectful and it comes from a place of honoring where that person comes from and where I come from and seeing how we can support and love each other and maintain like our personal values while also trying to achieve this BirthFit mission of changing the world. So the human connection is huge. And, I think, you know, we're capitalizing on that in BirthFit without even realizing it. We're embracing the modern world, but also taking it back to what we need as humans. And that's, you know, the human interaction. So, you know, yes, online programs and support and things like that are great. But what's so valuable is the human interaction and the connection. And, you know, I think that's where these wonderful regional directors come in. And they're like, I was able to sit in on Imbo's BirthFit West Los Angeles, but she started a new round of the postpartum series today. And there were 11 moms in there. And I was able to like, sneak in there for a minute. And there's just nothing like that support and that connection. And, you know, moms like loving on each other. And, I was going to say basically like if something happens and they need something, these moms step up. And, you know, I don't want to get too personal, but, we've had some moms that have joined our BirthFit postpartum series that have experienced loss or abortion or miscarriage pretty late. And, you know, that's still postpartum and they need that community just as much as the mom with a live baby, you know?
No, that's a very good point, because I guess the assumption was that, you know, it's all kind of rainbows and unicorns, and that's not necessarily the fact all the time. So
No, there's some big, heavy gray clouds in there too.
you on your bio, there's like a page full of certifications. So I'm not gonna read them all. We'll probably include some in the show notes. But you are very, obviously very well educated and experienced about the human body. Out of everything about the human body and how awesome it is, what is the most exciting to you and why?
Man, I think the human body has endless capabilities, but I think that starts with the mind. I think our mind, and our awareness and the practice around mindset, whatever that may be, and hopefully it's ever evolving for you, I think that we will never truly know how powerful it is. And you know, I definitely had some dark clouds in my day back in 2006-ish, 2007, 8. And this is where I crossed paths with an NLP therapist. And NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. And this is has to do with the thought patterns in our brain and the perspective in which we view this world, and retraining those thought patterns through a number of tools. And the most famous NLP therapist person is probably Tony Robbins, that people have heard of today. But you know, I went to this woman once a week, and it was phenomenal, especially for me at that time. And since then, I had been wanting to do anything to learn more about NLP, but my schedule didn't really line up until I came across a training last year, and it was going to happen in the month of January of 2018, and it was all going to happen in the time span of like 17 days instead of like happening once a month for a year or something like that, you know. So for me, I was like, yes, I'm sold, I'm in, I signed up. And I would say this has been one of the best trainings that I've done. And it was through a company called Global NLP. And her name's Nikki Schneider. She's a brilliant NLP therapist. And the class is phenomenal. And if you do anything in this world in which you communicate with humans, which I think all of us do, I think at least the first half of this class would be beneficial to you and your communication abilities. And then, you know, I went and did the master practitioner after that. So part of the consultations and the work I do includes NLP within it. So that's why I went on to do that. But just it's so important to understand thought patterns and how to get around them, or at least, at the very least, to be aware of our own stories and our own maps of the world, and maybe when to kind of take emotions out of a situation or disassociate for a second, you know? So if you get the opportunity or you want to check out Global NLP, do so. Nikki probably doesn't even know I go around talking about her. She's very humble, and she's one of the best that I've come across.
Very cool. And she might hear from me soon. just to kind of start wrapping it up, what is next for you and what is next for BirthFit?
Oh, man, we have a couple of things in the pipeline, but this year, 2018, we have a number of new consultations and online services that are available. So that's kind of our focus right now, is embracing the consultations, because I mean, there are, I call them world class, but literally world class experts on the consultation page. from running to like Brittany's on there for preconception, mindset, nutrition, core and pelvic floor, anything along those lines. I'm probably missing something, but yeah, the trying to get these women more accessible to the audience is key. Because like I said earlier, the resources aren't out there, and you know, we want to bring the realest information.
Yeah, what is Brittany's last name?
Brittany Anderson, and she's okay. Birth Fit Nashville. And then you're in Cleveland, so you have Candace.
Actually, no, I know her personally.
I know her personally.
Also, yeah, they started a podcast here too, and we were actually her and a good friend of mine, Anna Marie. We were talking when hopefully we helped them get it off the ground. And
oh, nice! I think you did.
Yeah, Delivering Strength podcast. Yeah, Cleveland, so check them out as well. Quick shout out.
Yeah, and Candace just had her baby over the Christmas holiday.
Yeah, so
yeah,
they're doing awesome things here in Cleveland.
Yeah, but yeah, there's good people. Reach out to them. I would say connection, the human experience. We're having our Birth Fit Summit in Austin, Texas in July. So that's a next big big project, big thing.
Everything's in Texas.
Yeah, I know. If anybody knows Brene Brown or Pink, I'm trying to get them to be guest speakers. Okay. Yeah.
You never know. We might have
some. I'm coming at them all angles.
Okay.
But yeah, that's for 2018, and yeah, hopefully in 2019 we have 200 regional directors, so double what we have now.
Are you looking to expand outside of the U.S.?
We have someone in Canada.
Okay.
But yes, we have explored.
Just a random thought. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Free association.
There is a barrier to entry for regional directors, and that's that they have to, like, when applying for next year, they have to have their DNS exercise one and have attended a Birth Fit seminar, whether it's coach or professional. And that's so they know where we're coming from, know our philosophy, and the rehab behind it, you know?
Got it. Okay. Where can people find you?
birthfit.com. They can find us on Instagram at birthfit. Okay. And then, you know, whatever city you're living in, try it. See if there's a Birthfit at Des Moines or Birthfit Garden City, Birthfit Palm Beach. Usually these go Birthfit_location name. Or you can just search the Birthfit hashtag and you'll see lots of stuff from regional directors.
Awesome. And we will link all that up in the show notes.
Oh, sweet.
Lindsay, thank you so much. I had a blast. I don't know if you did it, but I had a great time.
Yeah, it's great chatting with you.
Awesome. All right, Lindsay, thank you, and hopefully talk to you soon.
Definitely.
Take care.
Bye.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com. Facebook and Instagram at Uncharted Performance, and if Twitter is your thing, at Reach Uncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.